May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Wait till your father gets home. Hopefully not too many of you heard that when you were growing up, or at least not too often. But the truth is, this lesson today has a little bit of that overtone to it. We hear John crying out in the wilderness, and as you hear it, I always have the same reaction when I read that gospel lesson, which is, it closes, as you remember, with this, and so he preached the good news to the people, and I always wonder, where exactly is the good news in what he just said? The fact is that John came to deliver a message, and that message was not unlike the comment that I said at the very beginning. It could be good news, it could be bad news. The bad news, I suppose, for most people, or for at least for those who are not faithful to God, was a bad news of judgment. God comes to make things the way they're supposed to be, to execute justice, to call before his judgment the people who have done the things that God disapproves of, to remind people that there is much that they could do and much that they should not have done, to call them back to God. And it's in that context probably that he uses those words that would be a turnoff certainly if it were preached in today's church. Most people would not be welcomed as a brood of, like to be welcomed as a brood of vipers. The context, I suppose, is helpful because John is talking to people who believed that they were among God's chosen, that even though they may have strayed or wandered from the desires of God, that still they were the ones that God had picked among all the other nations to be his people. For those who figured that that was enough, that if only they had been born into the right family, the right nation, that they could be assured of God's protection and God's help and God's presence, then John's preaching came as a bit of a shock. Because he says, in fact, it's not what God said to your ancestors. It's not what you belong to. It's not being so much a part of the right religion or the right class or group or family, but rather it's what you yourself do. You can't count on it just because you're children of the right guy, but rather you have to make sure that your fruits show that you're the kind of people that God calls to follow him. And so indeed, John came among them as an uncomfortable messenger. He came to deliver words that were not welcome. We hear some years the fruits of that when we hear about how John got into trouble. And if you read a few more lines after this lesson today, you discover that he made the mistake, if you would call it that, of telling the governor exactly what he had done wrong and how he had killed his brother in order to marry his brother's wife. The strange thing about that was that John still somehow or other was recognized by Herod enough so that Herod would go and listen to him all the time, even though he never had anything good to say. We know that that's true of a lot of prophets, and if you want to do a little homework sometime, look up Micaiah in the time of Jehoshaphat. Micaiah was the prophet who never had anything good to say, but he was the only prophet who was right, as it turned out, in the history of the nation. Prophets are never popular, but prophets need to be listened to. And so when we hear the words of John calling out in the wilderness and saying that we are to prepare the way, we can listen to it both with a sense that it comes as bad news, as judgment for those who have done wrong, but also as good news. I can imagine at least some children would think of the fact that, well, the good news is even though my father is coming home, he's usually fair. I don't have to be expecting the most awful punishment. And in fact, the next few days of Advent remind us of both of those lessons. John comes to stir up people to obedience, but also to deliver the good news of God's presence, his coming among us. The very fact that Jesus was coming the fact that God took an interest in what was going on in that nation was good news for those people. People longed for deliverance. They'd been through a string of oppressors, of foreign nations that conquered them, who took away their money, who made life difficult, who destroyed their economy in many ways by extracting all the profit and all the good things that they could hope for out to support the Roman economy, the government which was over them at that time. And so they could hope for both an economic and political delivery, but also a delivery in terms of their own lives, that the one who was coming would make their lives better. Jesus, we know, would come to deliver a different message, a message of God's love, of his care for his people. The two are not contradictory, and it is in John that we see them together. The best news of all of God's presence that he delivered was that God was near. How easy is it for us to look around sometimes, even in our world today, and say, where is God in all this? How could things be better? How can these things happen? Why is there no solution in our world or in our lives, in our work, or even sometimes in our own personal lives? Where can God be present? How can God allow this to happen? How can this be going on? Those people felt the same way, and to them came the reminder that God was in fact not a distant God, not one who took no interest in those things, but a God who came among them, who was coming among them, not simply to deal with their sins, but to deal with their deliverance, to deal with the things, the very things that they prayed for, the very things that they needed, the very things that their hearts longed for. John came to deliver that message. And as we hear that message, we receive it ourselves in our own day and age. For Christ is nearer, as it says in Scripture, than when we first thought. We think of that not so much in terms of history, not as though we would necessarily pinpoint the exact time, for as even as Jesus said, we don't know. But it is also true that in some sense, Christ is always near. Fathers always come back. They come, show up at those times when accountability is necessary. John reminds us that that's not a one-time lesson, that in fact God is even now taking an interest in the world in which we live, that he even today challenges us in our behaviors, in our understandings, in our decisions, in our relationships, in our thoughts, in our relationship with God, that even in this day he cares. It is not something that will happen some other time in some other place, but in fact that God's presence is now. John came to deliver that message to us, to remind us. It's easy sometimes to say, well, I'll think about, like Scarlet and Gone with the Wind, I'll think about that tomorrow. Jesus reminds us that in fact we are to think about that today. There are many prophets in our world. Some of them, many of them, would have us think about certain things and the consequences of the way the world might be going. We have two responsibilities. We try to listen to our own prophets in this world today. One is to make sure, in fact, that their prophecy aligns with the will and purpose and design and heart of God. But the other is to realize that they are working for us to bring us to an awareness. What are your prophets? Who are your prophets? Who are the people who speak to you, who challenge you, who remind you of what it means to be a faithful citizen of the world, a Christian in Christ's service? Listen to those prophets as you listen to John, and then you won't have to worry too much when you hear those words, wait till your father gets home, because in fact, he'll be here before you know it. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing. Amen.